44.
But must not even a madman rely on his own mind, his own experience, rather than that of others?
In the cold calm of morning, Breeze watched a very disheartening sight. Set's army withdrawing. Breeze shivered, breath puffing as he turned toward Clubs. Most people wouldn't have been able to read beyond the sneer on the squat general's face. But Breeze saw more. He saw the tension in the taut skin around Clubs' eyes. He noticed the way that Clubs tapped his finger against the frosty stone wall. Clubs was not a nervous man. The motions meant something.
"This is it, then?" Breeze asked quietly.
Clubs nodded. Breeze couldn't see it. There were still two armies out there. It was still a standoff. Yet he trusted Clubs' assessment, or rather he trusted his own knowledge of people enough to trust his assessment of Clubs. The general knew something he didn't.
"Kindly explain," Breeze said.
"This'll end when Straff figures it out," Clubs said.
"Figures what out?"
"Those Kolos will do his job for him if he lets them."
Breeze paused.
"Straff doesn't really care about the people in the city. He just wants to take it for the Atium, and for the symbolic victory."
"If Straff pulls back," Breeze said. "Those Kolos will attack," Clubs said with a nod. "They'll slaughter everyone they find and generally make rubble out of the city. Then Straff can come back and find his Atium once the Kolos are done."
"Assuming they leave, my dear man."
Clubs shrugged.
"Either way, he's better off. Straff will face one weakened enemy instead of two strong ones."
Breeze felt a chill and pulled his cloak closer.
"You say that all so straightforwardly."
"We were dead the moment that first army got here, Breeze," Clubs said. "We're just good at stalling."
"Why in the name of the Lord Ruler do I spend my time with this man?" Breeze thought. "He's nothing more than a pessimistic doomsayer."
And yet Breeze knew people. This time Clubs wasn't exaggerating.
"Bloody hell," Breeze muttered.
Clubs just nodded, leaning against the wall and looking out at the disappearing army.
300 men, Ham said, standing in Alan's study. "Or at least, that's what our scouts say."
"That's not as bad as I'd feared," Ellen said.
They stood in Ellen's study, the only other occupant being Spook, who sat lounging beside the table.
"El," Ham said. "Set only had 1,000 men with him here in Lúthedain. That means during Vin's attack, Set took 30% casualties in less than 10 minutes. On a battlefield, most armies will break if they take 30 or 40% casualties in the course of an entire day's fighting."
"Oh," Ellen said, frowning. Ham shook his head, sitting down, pouring himself something to drink.
"I don't get it, El. Why'd she attack him?"
"She's loony," Spook said.
Ellen opened his mouth to counter that comment, but found it difficult to explain his feelings.
"I'm not sure why she did it," he finally admitted. "She did mention that she didn't believe those assassins at the assembly came from my father."
Ham shrugged. He looked haggard. This wasn't his element, dealing with armies and worrying about the fate of kingdoms. He preferred to concern himself with smaller spheres.
"Of course," Ellen thought, "I'd just prefer to be in my chair, reading quietly. We do what we must."
"Any news of her yet?" Ellen asked. Spook shook his head.
"Uncle Grumpy has the scouts searching the city, but so far nothing."
"If Vin doesn't want to be found," Ham said.
Ellen began to pace. He couldn't keep still. He was beginning to think he must look like Jastes, wandering in circles, running his hand through his hair.
Be firm, he told himself. You can afford to seem worried, but you mustn't ever seem uncertain.
He continued to pace, though he slowed his step, and he didn't voice his concerns to Hammer Spook. What if Vin was wounded? What if Set had killed her? Their scouts had seen very little of the attack the night before. Vin had definitely been involved, and there were conflicting reports that said she'd been fighting another Mistborn. She had left the keep with one of the top floors in flames, and for some reason she had left Set alive. Since then, nobody had seen her. Elland closed his eyes, pausing as he leaned a hand against the stone wall.
I've been ignoring her lately. I've helped the city, but what good will it do to save Luthadel if I lose her? It's almost like I don't know her anymore. Or did I ever know her in the first place?
It felt wrong to not have her with him. He had come to rely on her simple bluntness. He needed her genuine realism, her sheer sense of concreteness, to keep him grounded. He needed to hold her, so that he could know that there was something more important than theories and concepts. He loved her.
I don't know, Al, Ham finally said. I never thought that Vin would be a liability, but she had a hard youth. I remember once she exploded at the crew for little reason, yelling and screaming about her childhood. I don't know that she's completely stable.
Elland opened his eyes. She's stable, Ham, he said firmly, and she's more capable than any of us. Ham frowned. But
she had a good reason for attacking Set, Elland said. I trust her.
Ham and Spook exchanged glances, and Spook just shrugged.
It's more than last night, El, Ham said. Something's not right with that girl. Not just mentally, either.
What do you mean? Elland asked.
Remember the attack on the assembly? Ham said. You told me you saw her get hit square on by a thug's staff.
And? Elland asked.
It laid her out for 3 full days.
Ham shook his head.
Her complete collection of wounds, getting hit in the side, the shoulder wound, nearly being choked to death, those altogether laid her out for 2 days. But if she'd really gotten hit that hard by a thug, she shouldn't have been out for days, Elland. She should have been out for weeks, maybe longer. She certainly shouldn't have escaped without broken ribs.
She was burning pewter, Elland said.
Presumably so was the thug.
Elland paused.
You see, Ham said, if both were flaring pewter, then they should have balanced each other out. That leaves Vin, a girl who can't weigh more than 100 pounds, getting clobbered full on by a trained soldier with 3 times her weight. She shrugged it off with barely a few days' rest.
Vin's special, Elland finally said.
I won't argue with that, Ham said. But she's also hiding things from us. Who was that other Mistborn? Some of the reports make it sound like they were working together.
She said there was another Mistborn in the city, Elland thought. Zane, Straff's messenger. She hasn't mentioned him in a very long while.
Ham rubbed his forehead.
This is all falling apart around us, El. Kelsia could have kept it together, Spook mumbled. When he was here, even our failures were part of his plan.
The survivor is dead, Elland said. I never knew him, but I've listened to enough about him to learn one thing. He didn't give in to despair.
Ham smiled. That much is true. He was laughing and joking the day after we lost an entire army to a miscalculation. Arrogant bastard.
Callous, Spook said.
No, Ham said, reaching for his cup. I used to think that. Now, I just think he was determined. Kel always looked toward tomorrow, no matter what the consequences.
Well, we have to do the same, Elland said. Set is gone. Penrod let him leave. We can't change that fact. But we do have information on the Kolos army.
Oh, about that, Spook said, reaching into his pouch. He tossed something to the table. You're right. They're the same. The coin rolled to a stop, and Elland picked it up. He could see where Spook had scraped it with a knife, peeling off the gold paint to reveal the dense hardwood beneath. It was a poor representation of a boxing. It was little wonder that the fakes had been so easy to pick out. Only a fool would try to pass them off as real. A fool, or a koloss. Nobody was certain how some of Jasti's fake boxings had worked their way up to Luthadel. Perhaps he had tried giving them to peasants or beggars in his home dominance. Either way, it was fairly apparent what he was doing. He'd needed an army, and had needed cash. He'd fabricated the one to get the other. Only Koloss would have fallen for such a ploy.
I don't get it, Ham said as Elland passed him the coin. How come the Koloss have suddenly decided to take money? The Lord Ruler never paid them.
Elland paused, thinking back to his experience with the camp.
We are humans. We will live in your city.
The Koloss are changing, Ham, Elland said. Or maybe we never really understood them in the first place. Either way, we need to be strong. This isn't over yet.
It would be easier to be strong if I knew our Mistborn wasn't insane. She didn't even discuss this with us.
I know, Elland said. Ham rose, shaking his head.
There's a reason the Great Houses were always so reluctant to use their Mistborn against each other. Things just got a whole lot more dangerous. If Set does have a Mistborn, and he decides to retaliate...
I know, Elland said again, bidding the two farewell. Ham waved to Spook, and the two of them left, off to check with Breeze and Clubs.
They all act so glum, Elland thought, leaving his rooms to find something to eat. It's like they think we're doomed because of one setback. But Set's withdrawal is a good thing. One of our enemies is leaving, and there are still two armies out there. Jasti's one attack, if doing so exposes him to Straff, and Straff himself is too scared of Vin to do anything. In fact, her attack on Set will only make my father more frightened. Maybe that's why she did it.
Your Majesty, a voice whispered.
Elland spun, searching the hallway.
Your Majesty, said a short figure in the shadows.
Or Seer.
I think I found her.
Elland didn't bring anyone with him save for a few guards. He didn't want to explain to Ham and the others how he'd gotten his information. Vin still insisted on keeping Orsure secret.
Ham's right about one thing, Elland thought as his carriage pulled to a stop. She is hiding things. She does it all the time.
But that didn't stop him from trusting her. He nodded to Orsure, and they left the carriage. Elland waved his guards back as he approached a dilapidated building. It had probably once been a poor merchant's shop, a place run by extremely low nobility, selling meager necessities to ska workers in exchange for food tokens, which could in turn be exchanged for money from the Lord Ruler. The building was in a sector that Ellen's fuel collection crews hadn't reached yet. It was obvious, however, that it hadn't seen a lot of use lately. It had been ransacked long ago, and the ash coating the floor was a good 4 inches deep. A small trail of footprints led toward a back stairwell.
What is this place? Ellen asked with a frown.
Orsir shrugged a pair of dog's shoulders.
Then how did you know she was here?
I followed her last night, Your Majesty, Orsir said. I saw the general direction she went. After that, it was simply a process of careful searching.
Elland frowned. That still must have taken some pretty mean tracking abilities, Chandra.
These bones have unusually keen senses.
Elland nodded. The stairwell led up into a long hallway with several rooms at the ends. Elland began to walk down the hallway, then paused. To one side, a panel on the wall had been slid back, revealing a small cubby. He could hear movement within. Vin? He asked, poking his head into the cubby. There was a small room hidden behind the wall, and Vin sat on the far side. The room, more of a nook, was only a few feet across, and even Vin wouldn't have been able to stand up in it. She didn't respond to him. She simply sat, leaning against the far wall, head turned away from him. Elland crawled inside the small chamber, getting ash on his knees. It was barely large enough for him to enter without bumping into her.
Vin, are you all right?
She sat, twisting something between her fingers, and she was looking at the wall, looking through a narrow hole. Elland could see sunlight shining through. It's a peephole, he realized, to watch the street below. This isn't a shop. It's a thieving hideout. Or it was.
I used to think Cayman was a terrible man, Vin said quietly.
Elland paused, on hands and knees. Finally, he settled back into a cramped seated position. At least Vin didn't look hurt.
Cayman, he asked. Your old crew leader before Kelsier?
Vin nodded. She turned away from the slit, sitting with her arms around her knees.
He beat people. He killed those who disagreed with him. Even among street thugs, he was brutal.
Elland frowned.
But, Vin said quietly, I doubt he killed as many people during his entire life as I killed last night.
Elland closed his eyes. Then he opened them and shuffled a bit closer, laying a hand on Vin's shoulder.
Those were enemy soldiers, Vin.
I was like a child in a room full of bugs, Vin whispered.
He could finally see what was in her fingers. It was her earring, the simple bronze stud that she always wore. She looked down at it, twisting it between her fingers.
Did I ever tell you how I got this? She asked.
He shook his head.
My mother gave it to me, she said. I don't remember it happening. Rean told me about it. My mother... she heard voices sometimes. She killed my baby sister, slaughtered her, and that same day she gave me this, one of her own earrings, as if choosing me over my sister. A punishment for one, a twisted present for another.
Vin shook her head.
My entire life has been death, Elland. Death of my sister, the death of Rean. Crew members dead around me, Kelsier falling to the Lord Ruler, then my own spear in the Lord Ruler's chest. I try to protect and tell myself that I'm escaping it all. And then I do something like I did last night.
Not certain what else to do, Elland pulled her close. She was stiff, however.
You had a good reason for what you did, he said.
No, I didn't, Vin said. I just wanted to hurt them. I wanted to scare them and make them leave you alone. It sounds childish, but it's how I felt.
It's not childish, Vin, Elland said. It was good strategy. You gave our enemies a show of force. You frightened away one of our major opponents, and now my father will be even more afraid to attack. You've bought us more time.
Bought it with the lives of hundreds of men.
Enemy soldiers who marched into our city, Elland said. Men who were protecting a tyrant who oppresses his people.
That's the same rationale Kelsier used, Vin said quietly, when he killed noblemen and their guards. He said they were upholding the final empire, so they deserved to die. He frightened me.
Elland didn't know what to say to that.
It was like he thought himself a god, Vin whispered. Taking life, giving life, where he saw fit. I don't want to be like him, Elend. But everything seems to be pushing me in that direction.
You're not like him, he wanted to say. It was true, but the words wouldn't come out. They rang hollow to him. Instead, he pulled Vin close, her shoulder up against his chest, head beneath his chin.
I wish I knew the right things to say, Vin, he whispered. Seeing you like this makes every protective instinct inside of me twist. I want to make it better. I want to fix everything. But I don't know how. Tell me what to do. Just tell me how I can help.
She resisted his embrace a little at first, but then sighed quietly and slid her arms around him, holding him tightly.
You can't help with this, she said softly. I have to do it alone. There are decisions I have to make.
He nodded. You'll make the right ones, Vin.
You don't even know what I'm deciding.
It doesn't matter, he said. I know I can't help. I couldn't even hold on to my own throne. You're 10 times as capable as I am. She squeezed his arm.
Don't say things like that. Please?
He frowned at the tension in her voice, then nodded. All right. But either way, I trust you, Vin. Make your decisions. I'll support you.
She nodded, relaxing a bit beneath his arms. I think, she said, I think I have to leave Luthadel.
Leave? And go where?
North, she said. To Terrace.
Elend sat back, resting against the wooden wall.
Leave? He thought with a twisting feeling. Is this what I've earned by being so distracted lately? Have I lost her?
And yet he'd just told her that he'd support her decisions. If you feel you have to go, Vin, he found himself saying, then you should do so.
If I were to leave, would you go with me?
Now? Vin nodded, head rubbing his chest.
No,
he finally said. I couldn't leave Luthadel. Not with those armies still out there.
But the city rejected you.
I know, he said, sighing. But I can't leave them, Vin. They rejected me, but I won't abandon them. Vin nodded again, and something told him this was the answer she had expected. Elend smiled. We're a mess, aren't we?
Hopeless,
she said softly, sighing as she finally pulled away from him. She seemed so tired. Outside the room, Elend could hear footsteps. Orsura appeared a moment later, poking his head into the hidden chamber.
Your guards are growing restless, Your Majesty, he said to Elend. They will soon come looking for you.
Elend nodded, shuffling over to the exit. Once in the hallway, he offered a hand to help Vin out. She took the hand, crawling out, then stood and dusted off her clothing, her typical shirt and trousers.
Will she ever go back to dresses now? He wondered.
Elend, she said, fishing in a pocket. Here. You can spend this if you want.
She opened up her hand, dropping a bead into his hand.
Atium?
He asked incredulously.
Where did you get it?
From a friend, she said.
And you didn't burn it last night?
Elend asked.
When you were fighting all those soldiers?
No, Vin said. I swallowed it, but I didn't end up needing it, so I forced it back up.
Lord Ruler, Elend thought. I didn't even consider that she didn't have Atium. What could she have done if she'd burned that bit?
He looked up at her. Some reports say that there's another Mistborn in the city.
There is. Zane,
Ellen dropped the bead back into her hand. Then you keep this. You might need it to fight him.
I doubt that, Vin said quietly.
Keep it anyway, Ellen said. This is worth a small fortune, but we'd need a very large fortune to make any difference now. Besides, who would buy it? If I used it to bribe Straff or Set, they'd only become more certain I'm holding Atium against them.
Vin nodded, then glanced at Orsure. Keep this, she said, handing the bead toward him. It's big enough that another Allomancer could pull it off of me if he wanted.
I will guard it with my life, mistress,
Orsure said, his shoulders splitting open to make room for the bit of metal. Vin turned to join Elland as they walked down the steps, moving to meet with the guards below.